Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go out to the River Islands guest line and talk to Steve Kerr. Presented by Great Clips in sports, success is about team effort, and the same is true for your hair. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Good evening, Steve. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
We're fantastic, but you're probably better. 1-0. What's your overall takeaway from last night?
Yeah, really good night. You know, it's always fun to win the opener, just get off on the right track. And I thought our guys played an excellent second half. Our first half was not very good, but, you know, opening night, butterflies and a lot of turnovers. We settled down nicely, though, and a lot of guys played really well, and it's a good win.
Yeah, very sloppy, I thought, both ways in the first half. Would you chalk that up to just opening night jitters or just kind of the way it was so choppy with, you know, the officiating, a lot of whistles, and even a player of yours getting a tee from the bench, which I don't know if I've seen before.
Yeah, I think it was the turnovers really that hurt us. I mean, we had 6 or 7 transition opportunities that should not have been difficult. You know, as long as we're spaced and you have a man advantage, the game, that's when that game is actually the easiest. And we didn't handle the transition well at all. I think we had 2 charges. We had an illegal screen. We had a pass we caught out of bounds. We had poor spacing. So we cleaned that up in the second half. Our guys did a great job of taking care of the ball, making the most of every possession, and we were able to pull away.
Steve, you know us fans are always interested in who's starting and who's finishing. So last night's starting lineup, was there some circumstantial nature to it because Moses is not available or because Luka is a defensive thing you have to deal with, or is that lineup that you put out there last night something you'd like to work with for a little while?
Well, you know, the lineup decision was made based on Moses not being available. I would have started Moses had he been healthy, based on the way we finished last year. You know, we really found a good group, but there's a lot that goes into the equation this year. I really don't want to play Draymond at the 5 all season long. So there will be games where I start bigger. But last night felt like a great night for Jonathan. He's had a really good training camp. We had to guard Luka. And we do want to give that lineup more looks. Draymond, Jimmy, Steph, BP, and JK. So didn't get a lot of reps last year because Jonathan was hurt when we got Jimmy and missed the next 20 games or so. We just found a great groove with what we were doing. So this is a fresh start for some looks at different lineups. And I thought JK played really well with them.
Certainly more on that coming up. But while we're on the Moses Moody subject, what is the update on his status and what do you see as that role once he's ready to go?
Yeah, he's not going to play tomorrow, but we're hopeful that he could play in Portland. And we'll see. I mean, you know, it's a brand new year and things change, and who knows how this is going to play out. I mean, as I said, I don't really want to start Draymond at the five every game. So if I start big, that means, you know, maybe Al or Quentin Post at the five and Draymond at the four, Jimmy at the three. That removes, you know, not Steph, obviously, but it removes either right. Moses or Buddy or JK or whoever it is. So it's we don't have this thing all figured out just yet, but I know that we have a ton of options and we've got a lot of depth on this team, which I love.
When you look at Jimmy, JK, and Draymond last night, just a small sample, what were the things that you saw from that trio, especially Jonathan Kuminga, that made you encouraged by having those three play more together?
Well, the athleticism and just the ability to switch, you know, three, four, and five. The defensive connection was good. I thought the offense was really clunky in the first half. We finally started getting the ball moved in the second half, and that's when the game broke open. JK and Steph and Draymond had several possessions in the third quarter where we got things moving. We manipulated the defense, and JK had a nice slip to the rim for a layup and knocked down a couple shots. And so, you know, it was way better in the second half than it was in the first offensively. But I liked the defense and the athleticism, you know, the entire time they were out there. And that's, of course, what's intriguing about putting them together.
Steve Kerr with us every single week on Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game. The coach with us after the 1-0 start with the win in L.A. last night. Yeah, Steve, that early third quarter basketball was beautiful. I thought that second half was some of the best basketball I can remember Jonathan Kuminga playing in quite some time. So that's really encouraging. I wonder, sort of like, if you can take us into this dynamic that you talked about last night. I'm super intrigued by it. Jonathan with a couple of possessions that you guys didn't love, but that he immediately kind of waved to you and gave you the, my bad, I know. Like, can you take us through that dynamic? Because it sounds like maybe there's been some progression there.
Oh, I think he's really matured. I think the veteran players have really helped him in training camp. Jimmy has been working with him after practice. And I just think JK is in a much better place now than, you know, he was even a year ago. And some of that is just a comfort level with the team around him. Some of that is growth and maturity that you expect from a young player. And I know that I'm really excited about just how he's progressed both on and off the court. And he's going to be a huge part of what we do this year.
Jimmy Butler particularly said he's kind of taken JK under his wing. What are the things that you look for JK to learn from Jimmy Butler specifically to help elevate his game and get him to where you guys want him to be?
Well, I think Jimmy can deliver the message better than anybody else, better than I can, for sure. You know, I think players learn from each other and they respect, you know, the vets. And so the messages we're trying to send to JK aren't different now than they were the last few years. It's they're just more likely to take because of now the experience JK has being in the league for several years and hearing Jimmy, you know, reiterate those messages and what those things are, you know, sprint the floor and rebound. And when he does that, his athleticism really pops and we can really feel him. He's defending well. I thought he defended Luka pretty well last night. Actually, there's just not a whole lot you can do with that guy. But, you know, JK is going to be hugely important for us this year in defending, you know, the best wing players. So, he's really had a good camp, and like I said, he's off to a good start.
Yeah, I think everyone's going to love hearing the spot that you're sort of describing right now for this situation. I wonder, though, if you could take us in sort of where this has been inside your heart and mind. Was there ever any doubt that you had with regard to Kuminga and the team kind of blending and having this work?
Well, there's, I mean, it's not exactly news that, you know, he was frustrated last year and that he wanted a bigger role and that the fit was tricky. And I think, you know, when we look back at it, it actually makes perfect sense, right? I mean, we draft him. He was 19. He had played eight or nine games in the COVID G League bubble in Orlando. That was the extent of his, you know, experience and preparation for being on the Golden State Warriors. So that's a lot to ask for a young player. We won the championship in his first year, but very little experience. He also started the game late, you know, learning and growing up in the Congo and moving to the United States. So there was a lot really going on, and he joined, unlike all the other guys in his draft class at the top of the draft, he joined a team that was trying to win a championship. So a lot of growing pains and difficult fit, all that stuff. But I think he's gotten dramatically better. I think he's matured, and I think he's ready to really help us win a lot of games. And, you know, hopefully, even though the path was rocky, hopefully ultimately everyone gets what they want.
Yeah, I don't know what you're referring to, Steve, about a rocky path, but I'm more curious about, like, how much better has he gotten from last year to this year? Because the summer we know was, yeah, rocky path, but when you look at him as just a player now, where are the areas where you look at JK and say, yeah, that's a clear-cut improvement?
Well, 9 rebounds last night, 6 in Portland in his last exhibition game that he only played the first half in because of the ejection. And he's passing the ball better than he's passed it in 4 years. 6 assists last night. The thing we're still trying to work with him on that I think he improved on in the second half was understanding the power of Steph. You know, go and set a screen for him and slip to the rim. He got a layup from Draymond early in that third quarter. I thought that play alone changed the game. And that's, you know, that's the hardest thing for players to do when they get here, is to understand how to play with Steph and to utilize, you know, his gravity, his force, to open up other opportunities to score either for yourself or someone else. And so I think that's really still the area that we're going to hammer home with JK, because there's no doubt if you use Steph the right way, that's the best way for us to win.
Steve, you've mentioned that Al Horford will not play back-to-backs, and I'm curious how you'll go about deciding which end of the back-to-back it will be. Will it be kind of about his health? Will it be matchup dependent? For instance, will he play tomorrow because Jokic is in town, or would you save him for Portland?
He'll play tomorrow and then sit in Portland. That's the plan. But that will always be subject to how Al is feeling. You know, as we go during the 82 games, there's going to be nights where, you know, maybe he's banged up, he's not feeling great. We don't have the luxury to decide which game to sit him on. So, but this week, first week of the season, he's feeling well. We'll play him tomorrow and we'll give him the night off in Portland.
How do you address that or approach that with the other veterans? I think you've got 5 back-to-backs in the first 5 or 6 weeks. So is it never too early to start thinking about load management? And what's the process to try to figure out the best time to give some vets some early breathers?
Well, we go over the schedule. I go over the schedule with Rick Celebrini and our performance team, and they make recommendations, and they're checking in with the players every single day about how they're feeling. And then we look at matchups, and you know, it's going to be tricky this year because I'm sure there will be games where more than one of our vet players sits. And so we're going to have to figure out combinations, change some starting lineups here and there, and make sure we get the bench rotation the way it's going to be most productive and efficient. And so those are all the things that we will discuss, you know, organizationally as the year goes.
Steve, with each week, are you going to give us a look at a different part of your house? Like, is that Muhammad Ali behind your right shoulder?
Underwater, yeah. Underwater Ali.
Yeah. So you're probably going to see Muhammad every week.
Okay.
This is going to be my spot.
That's your spot. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Like, I mean, that's a beautiful piece. What is that?
It's a print from, it's actually a famous print from the 70s. I can't remember the name of the photographer, but he literally, you know, just decided, I want to take a photo of Muhammad Ali underwater. And it's an iconic spot or shot. And, you know, he's an iconic figure, just an amazing athlete and activist and somebody who literally, you know, changed the world with his personality and his beliefs. And so I'm a fan, and I, my wife and I love the print. And so, yeah, here it is in our house.
I love it. Did you ever get a chance to meet Muhammad Ali?
I did. I met him in Phoenix kind of later in his life when I was working as a GM for the Suns. And that was quite a thrill.
All right, Steve, who are you betting on in this Jimmy Butler, Steph Curry free throw shooting contest?
I'll let you guys handle the wagers. We just had a major meeting with the league yesterday on you know, the fact that we are not allowed to wager on any NBA game. So I'm not allowed to wager on the free throw battle between those two.
Fair enough. But I wonder then if you could weigh in on this. Like, we were just talking about this a little bit ago, and I'm mindful of when Jimmy was acquired and you had told us, you're like, I've never met the guy before. This has to have exceeded expectations. He comes in with this sort of league-wide reputation of maybe being a little rough around the edges. And then there he is, not just being the basketball player he is, this leadership role that he seems to have grabbed within your locker room is incredible. Even the way he's handling things like the press conferences after games and whatnot. To what level did you see this coming, and how has that evolved?
Well, I didn't know for sure because I didn't know Jimmy. I had never spent any time with him, but I knew how good he was, and I knew how competitive he was. So I figured it'd be a good fit. I think the thing that jumps out to me, you know, two things: his competitive desire, his competitive fight. You know, that's so obvious. His desire and ability to just take over games every single night. There aren't many guys in the league who can do that. And then just what a great stabilizing force he is for us. And we need that. You know, I've talked about this openly over the years. Part of our strength is our chaos that Steph and Draymond generate. And that's part of our weakness, too. Those guys can get a little out of hand, and the ball starts flying around. And it's why we've always thrived the most with guys like Andre Iguodala or Sean Livingston, you know, David West, Zaza, you know, these guys who could just kind of complement Steph and Dre and Clay with really solid, fundamental, smart basketball. And so Jimmy gives us that, but in a package of someone who can get 30 points every single night. So it's pretty impressive.
And also in a package of somebody who can get after you, not you in particular, but teammates and refs as well. How has this affected Draymond Green? Has it allowed Draymond to maybe take a step back and not have to be quite so fiery all the time?
Yeah, I think, well, it hasn't changed Draymond's fire at all. I just think it's given him more confidence than ever. That, you know, all players in basketball want to look, you know, to one side of the locker room and the other and feel like, hey, we got a real shot. And that's what Jimmy did. You know, we, the last couple of years after our title in 22, I think we were obviously, you know, really good at times, but, you know, with Clay moving on, it just didn't feel like we quite had enough to compete with the very best teams in the league. And I think that changed the minute we got Jimmy. He's an alpha. He's a superstar. He's got the type of game that just translates every single night to winning. You know, he gets fouled. He gets the game under control. He gets you a shot without having to execute a play. That stuff is hugely valuable.
Steve, what's fascinating to me, though, is that you have these two ultimate, clear, vocal alphas. And I don't know that usually works to have two of those in the exact same room. How do those two guys make that work? And is it your experience that can work?
Yeah. I mean, it is my experience that it can work. It's just, you know, personalities have to have to form, you know, within the team. Relationships have to form, and guys have to get a feel for one another. And I think the fact that Jimmy and Draymond are such different players really helps. They're not fighting over the ball. They do such different things. They complement one another so well. So I think they both really enjoy, you know, having each other and of course Steph. And so you end up with this trio of competitive winners setting the tone every day for, you know, a group of other guys. That's a pretty powerful force.
It's very powerful. And, you know, you've got veterans across the board, and Al Horford suddenly makes an older team feel even older. I wonder if you think back to the Spurs teams, late Tim Duncan at 37, and they were able to win the title. Is there any blueprint that you can draw from a veteran team like that that was able to navigate it and win the title?
Yeah, I guess the Spurs would probably be as good an analogy as any with Duncan and Ginobili, and you know, those two in particular being somewhat older. I don't spend too much time thinking about any of that. I mean, our job is just put together the best team we can while we're navigating the 82.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Two-game season, and you know, trying to keep guys healthy and fresh, and that's going to be the challenge, you know, because of the age of Al and the three guys you just mentioned. We're gonna have to navigate this thing, and I'm glad we have our performance staff to help us do that, and the players themselves. But we're confident that if we can get to the playoffs in one piece, that we can beat anybody.
Speaking of those playoffs, you guys are already a game up on the Rockets.
Yeah,
they're
go.
All the way down in the 15 seed, Steve. I don't know if you've seen that. How early do you start watching stuff around the league? There's a ton of games tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I have the games on tonight, and I'll be watching every single night. I mean, you don't spend too much time looking at the standings early in the year, but yeah, it's something that all of us on the staff, we love it so much. I'd be watching these games even if this wasn't my job, you know. So we're lucky to do what we love.
Steve Kerr with us here on Willard and Dibbs. Speaking of things that you might keep an eye on, I don't even know if you've heard this today, Steve, but the Giants made an historic hire for their new manager, and they grabbed a guy out of University of Tennessee that has no experience in the pros as a player, coach, or manager. His name is Tony Vitello. And I definitely wanted to get your thoughts on that as kind of a concept of moving into that role when you've never done it before. Like, what would your advice be for Tony?
Well, I don't have any advice. I mean, I just trust that Buster Posey, who's brilliant and obviously a, you know, Hall of Fame caliber player, I trust that he knows what he's doing. And you don't bring someone into your locker room unless you think he can handle the job. And I read about Tony. I don't know him. I haven't met him. I look forward to it. But the success that he had at Tennessee that he's had, and you know, building the program and developing young players. I imagine Buster saw that as a blueprint for developing a lot of young players here. But, you know, you don't have to have done it at this level to be a great manager, you know, and I think that's true in every sport. There's great coaches. I mean, Bill Belichick's the greatest coach of all time in the NFL, right? Tom Landry, you know, those guys didn't play in the NFL. And I just think that somebody's either going to be able to do it or not, but based on all kinds of different things, not just one thing.
Yeah, well, and I mean, obviously you played for years, but when you were first becoming a head coach, was there something that you sort of, like, was there a conversation with yourself about, like, the person that you needed to kind of become as you stepped into a new role?
Well, it was a lot of conversations with a lot of people that I was leaning on, you know, mentors and other coaches in other sports who I sought advice from. And I think it definitely helped me that I had played, and it helped being a general manager. But I had never coached and I had a lot to learn and that's okay. You know, it's not rocket science what we're doing. It's really more about human relationships and motivation and connection and talent. And if you can put all that stuff together, like we've been fortunate enough to do with the Warriors, then you can have success. But it all starts with the players, and the coach's job is really to try to help the players be the best versions of
probably
themselves.
Helps the confidence when you start out 21-2, I would think, huh, Steve, like you did.
Yeah, it helps the confidence when you show up for your first practice and you've got Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green. Yeah, that's very helpful.
Yeah.
Boom. All right. Well, Coach,
coaching.
Save the most important question for the end. What's for dinner?
I don't know yet. We're actually babysitting our granddaughters tonight, so we're driving over to their house and probably going to just order some food.
Oh, that's okay. Okay. For a minute, I thought maybe the granddaughters were there with you, and that's who was maybe like clanging some things over there.
No. That was our dog Lulu getting her dinner.
Yeah. Well, nice. What's for her dinner then, Steve? I mean, don't leave her out.
Oh yeah, she gets the good stuff.
The good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Steve. We'll see you out there tomorrow night, man. Congrats on win number one.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks a lot.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.